Some have indicated they thought this result might be, well, it would certainly be going against history if we were to have a different result from this, you might say. But some were still a little bit surprised. Should they have been?
Well, perhaps it's easy for everyone now to be wise after the event. And this history has, I guess, righted itself from the peril it seemed to be facing. Many were jumping on a bandwagon suggesting that for the first time in nearly 100 years, government could win a seat from an opposition in a by-election, because the seat of Longman was so marginal, held by only 0.8%. And polls leading up to the by-election were suggesting a very tight race, and that there was a potentially large swathe of voters opting to support One Nation. The way their preferences were going to flow was really anyone's guess. So it was fair enough, I think, that people thought that this seat was most likely to fall. Yes, as it turns out, status quo reigned.
Well, looking at the seat of Longman, Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister, indicated this might be a test of, well, certainly Bill Shorten's political leadership if the seat was to go. Words he's kind of backtracked on quite a bit since Labor did win the seat handily again. Are we getting a little too obsessed with the political leadership of both parties as opposed to policies? Do we really feel that voters are basing their votes on, well, Malcolm Turnbull's in charge of this party, Bill Shorten's in charge of that party, I like one or the other, and I'm going to vote for them?
Yes, that's spot on, really. That's been very much the case, not just in the term of this government, but for many, many years now. We've, at both our federal and state levels, been more susceptible to presidential-style election campaigns and politicking. Which has focused attention onto party leaders, onto their campaigning style, their personalities, their personal background, and people have become, I guess, more invested in the type of personality that leads parties. It's a bit of a mug's game because as we all know, it doesn't really determine which party forms government. It might swing certain seats or lump a few more votes in one basket compared to another. But ultimately, it's taking away from the main game of party politics and party policy. Hopefully, after these by-election results, when warned of peril for Bill Shorten being in danger of perhaps being dumped for Anthony Albanese, I expect that will now die down to a certain extent. And I don't really think that Malcolm Turnbull is going to face similar kinds of scrutiny on his leadership. Certainly there'll be pressure on the coalition to perhaps dust itself off and show a bit of contrition after maybe getting its hopes up and its supporters' hopes up. But we'll perhaps see more of a focus leading on just what policies the government and the opposition and minor parties are going to focus on heading towards the next election.
Might circle back on that one in just a moment, Chris, but I did want to ask your thoughts. I mean, you've written an article for The Conversation out this morning which indicates a belief that One Nation, and certainly the results do carry this, One Nation is still a very potent force, particularly in Queensland. Certainly a beneficiary of this turn towards personality politics. But the question, I think, does have to be asked from some perspective, why? Why does One Nation remain, in some sense, so popular?
Yeah, it's $64 million question. I think both major parties would certainly like to know the answer to. We've been struggling for 20 years now to try to get to the bottom of that. reasons have changed over the course of that time. And yes, personality certainly drives a lot of it. It's a party that is based around the enigma that is Pauline Hanson. And yet, interestingly, she was absent in the final stages of the by-election campaign in Longman. And still the party gained a very credible 16% of the primary vote, which just might go to show that cardboard cutouts are just as effective as the real thing when it comes to leaders preening around election campaigns. But it's indicative of a wider, I guess, malaise that's settled on Australian politics, where more and more people are dissatisfied with politics as usual, with the offerings of the major parties and their leaders. People are looking for alternatives. Here in Queensland, that hasn't always been Pauline Hanson or the One Nation Party. Clive Palmer obviously rose to some prominence a few years back, probably in the absence of One Nation when Pauline Hanson was off the scene. But there's been here in Queensland and in other parts of Australia a residual resentment or animus towards the political establishment, and we're seeing that manifest now in so many by-election, state election and federal election results. The Longman by-election, for one, again produced a result where more than 30% of voters directed their primary vote away from the major party. And that's been a trend in Queensland and across Australia now for some years. It's been mapped by other election analysts and experts, and seems to point to a disaffection in the wider electorate with politics as usual.
And just as I say, perhaps as a final point, Chris, your earlier point around the shift towards personality politics, presidential politics, I mean, certainly the media has a hand to play in this, making, you know, every test of politics lately a test of the political leadership, and will they go, will they stay, following that rather tumultuous period from the election of Kevin Rudd. But indeed, looking at the future, especially for the coalition government, I mean, you've still got a quite, Malcolm Turnbull still comes out ahead as preferred PM against Bill Shorten, but Labor seems to be making these kinds of gains. Is the coalition really going to find it easier to dump their leader than dump some of these policies, which some have pointed towards as being very, very unpopular and more likely a more deciding vote in how voters are swinging?
Yeah, fair question. I mean, the bottom line is I don't think there is appetite in the coalition for changing leaders. I have no doubt that for the rest of this week and probably weeks coming, we'll hear some agitation, both from the member for Warringah himself and for some of his supporters, that might suggest some rumblings of dissent, but I don't think it'll go more than that in coalition ranks. I really think they will look to reset some of their policy agenda. And yes, the role of the media in all of this is significant, as you say. It has played its part. The whole 24-hour news cycle helps to promote this culture of fascination and obsession with sort of every single utterance and implication of dissent and distraction from the main messages. Perhaps now, at least fingers might be crossed, that we'll see the media and the parties focus a little bit more on what they're going to offer voters come the next election. And I see that's where, for the major parties at least, that more of their attention is going to be focused. And this goes for Labor as well. Obviously, take some confidence from how well their campaign ran in Longman and in the other seats it contested. But of course, Mayo stands out in South Australia as again another example where a non-major party voice is attracting a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And while Labor sort of more or less ran dead in that seat, both it and the coalition will be trying to pick up lessons in that seat and in Braddon, where the government, I think, even secured a small swing to it in the wash-up, but especially from Longman, that voters want some significant and believable aspirational policy promises and commitments that that they can, you know, feel more confident in taking their votes to an election.
Most certainly. Chris, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your insight into this one this morning, because there's a lot of dissenting voices, tumultuous voices. Very glad we could get you on to make some sense of it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Sean. Good talk.